Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to the next step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, but doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and is brought to you by the cool folks over at epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Hey, and welcome back. This is, of course, the Holy Week edition of The Next Step, a very special one. Of course, we wait all year long. This should be our new year, right? I think it's the Christian New Year, in a sense, because all of Christianity begins this week. It's the idea that, well, evil can't make it, that there is a power greater than evil, and that, of course, is the power of love, love being incarnate in Jesus Christ, and we now celebrate the resurrection, the ultimate victory over even death. Wow! This is a great week, and you can tell I'm feeling good today. It has been a wonderful week so far. We are at Holy Thursday right now. We just celebrated the Divine Liturgy. I've got to tell you, a lot of stuff going on right now. Well, I'll tell you real quickly, we're going to be sharing some stuff. You know, it's the 40th anniversary of Jesus Christ Superstar, the rock opera that hit it off 40 years ago, 1970. We're going to be taking a look at that. I'm going to go down memory lane for a bit with that. I think it's really appropriate. And we're going to be talking about Easter traditions. What does Easter really mean? I think in a very novel way that you've come to expect from us. I've got some... Okay, Susie's been after me. She's been really riding me all morning because I've been mean to Ken about his awful habits, which, by the way, we are now Holy Week and there are no ashes, not in the ashtray, not on my desk. And our studio smells great. Let me say it this. Okay, let me say it this way. What we call our studio, because we just, the other day somebody was talking to us, and I think that on the outside it sounds like we've got these big studios and everything. Well, these are all makeshift kind of things, and of course, Ken, he has been smokeless since the beginning of Lent, and Susie's been writing me today because, well, I've got a funny story for you. It has to do with a Mercedes, some cows, and smoking. What is it all? Well, I'm going to wait till the very, very end to share that with you. But for right now, we're pretty excited. Let me tell you, this morning we celebrated the Holy Thursday. And here in Glendale, I'm very fortunate because I do have a retired priest. Shouldn't even say retired. He does quite a bit of work. He does a lot of writing for the diocese. But on Sunday mornings, he comes and shares his time with us. And so this morning, he celebrated the Divine Liturgy. Father Zavin is his name. And I got to do the deacon's portion of the liturgy. Is that right? Can I say... I hate saying it that way. Yes, I'm the one who's critical of people when they say that. And now I just am guilty of the same thing. Well, you get the idea. Like, there's portions in the liturgy. If you follow the book, there's the priest says one portion, and then the response is from the people, or sometimes choir, and then the deacons invite people to worship. Well, I got to be the deacon of the day, so to speak, and got to throw the smoke, actually use the censer. It had been so long. It was actually very, very, very fun for me. I had a chance to go back in time, celebrate. And you know, when you're the priest doing the liturgy, your head is with the congregation, because you're basically steering the people in the direction of faith during that liturgy. But as a deacon, you can really concentrate on inviting people, inviting through your motions, through your actions, through your words to the worship. So it's interesting. I guess it had been a long time since I had really thought about it, and this morning I had a chance. This morning, Thursday morning, we celebrated the remembrance of the Last Supper, the commemoration of the Last Supper. This, to me, is my all-time favorite divine liturgy, Badarak, because this is the beginning. This is where it begins. This is where Jesus, the words of institution come alive. You know, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant shed for many. I mean, such powerful, powerful words. And these words come alive in the Armenian liturgy like nowhere else. And I had a chance to celebrate that in a different vantage point today. And I want to share with you that Sunday morning, come Easter, we're going to do something really unusual. I want you to mark this down on your calendar, because you're going to have to get up 8 o'clock our time, which is Pacific's, I think we're daylight time. Pacific daylight time is what you want to set your world clock to. I know, you know, yes, all of you European people, because of our European listeners, our daily podcast, we've had to adjust the time for you. So we put it out 3 o'clock in the afternoon, our time for you. Now we're going to ask you on Easter morning to adjust your time to us. 8 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time, we are going to celebrate the Divine Liturgy in English, the Armenian Orthodox, Armodoxy, this Divine Liturgy in English, 8 to 9 o'clock. We're calling it a sunrise service. It's a trial. It's a trial liturgy, but very real, and we invite you to participate. If you're in the Los Angeles area, please join us at the Youth Ministry Center in Glendale. But if you're anywhere else in the world, join us at epostle.net, and we will be streaming this. So I hope that you'll be joining us. You'll be watching. This is history in the making. We've got a divine liturgy on Easter Sunday. And not to worry, we're going to go the full route. English is in the morning at 8 o'clock our time. 10 o'clock, 10:30, followed by the regular traditional divine liturgy in Armenian. So both of them. I hope we'll have the second one streamed too, but not sure. Definitely the first one. But it reminds me, that's when the apostle was born, on Easter Sunday, year 2000. That's when we did our first broadcast. That was streamed over the internet. It was audio only. This one we're going to do video too. So please join us Easter morning, epostle.net, and there will be a link to the podcast, actually the broadcast, and I believe Ustream is going to be carrying it, but I don't know all the details. That's why you go on Epostle, get there a few minutes early before 8 o'clock, set yourself up, you know, and you're plugged in. You're with us. Lot of stuff going on. You could tell my excitement. Besides all that, we just finished the daily podcast for Friday. I've got to tell you, it was very emotional for me. We talked about the crucifixion and the burial in a very different way. We went the route of St. Nerses Shnorhali. And I'm going to be sharing some of those thoughts with you as well. And as for the music, yes, absolutely. Yes, Ken, kudos to you. Incredible music today. We had a chance to pretty much put together this unusual mix. Where else can you hear Dervorimia, a rendition of Dervorimia by System of a Down? And we had Stairway to Heaven, a symphonic version from a Kashmir album, and then it all came together with a Jesus Christ Superstar, John 1941. Wow! That was the soundtrack. But you know what? One of the points that I made, and I think this is, and this is where I want to play the song of the day today, it's when you're at the foot of the cross. Because, you know, through the Lenten journey and through the Holy Week journey, these are our daily podcasts that we've been doing. People have been following along on a daily basis. We got all the way to the cross. And when you're at the foot of the cross, looking up at Christ, what prayer can you say? What is the only prayer that you can utter that will come out of your mouth? I mean, how could you comprehend the idea of the creator of the universe being up on a cross? And the only prayer that you can utter is, Lord, have mercy. Here are my kids singing Dervormia. Lord, have mercy. I think that's about the only thing you can say at the foot of the cross. What else can you say? Lord, have mercy. That is from the Focused Vision album, an album we put out in the year 2002. And there are a few copies of that available still, not readily available. You can't find that everywhere, but we do have it at Glendale at our Youth Ministry Center, and if you're inclined to get a copy, I know it has inspired a lot of people. Probably of all the projects that we've done at NSU's Youth Ministries, probably that's the number one project, because I gotta tell you, a month doesn't go by that somebody writes to me and says that they heard it here or there, and it has just inspired them. It's a collection of all kinds of Armenian church music, Sharagans, and that was a group of kids that when I was serving as pastor in Pasadena that we got together and we put together this album. Great album. Focused Vision is the name of it. But for right now, we're going to be looking at another album, an album which came out, would you believe, 40 years ago. That was 40 years ago. Jesus Christ Superstar came out. First time I heard it, I was 13, 14 years old. I remember talking my mom into getting me a copy. I believe I got it for Christmas or something. And it was two giant LPs, long playing albums, 33 and a third. And we had this big old Victrola, we called it, a big old record player. And I'll never forget, it was, I think, the day after Christmas, sitting down in front of it. And I had headphones on because I wasn't sure really what to listen for. I knew it was a rock opera. It was called rock opera. I was 14 years old, a little bit sensitive to the whole idea that rock opera, and my parents weren't too keen on rock and roll. But somehow, like I said, because I guess of the name Jesus Christ, I was able to finagle a copy. And I had this. I was listening to it. And I got to tell you, I can never forget exactly the feelings, the emotions. They weren't all positive, but there were a lot of mixed emotions. And I think this is really important. The reason I'm bringing it up today is because, you know, how do you come to faith? What are the articles that bring you to faith? What are the actions that make faith alive in you? And I'm saying this because a lot of times we talk about, well, read the Bible, or let me pray for you. You know, if you think about it for a moment, what brought you to faith? It certainly wasn't the traditional ways. Jesus Christ Superstar, this rock opera, played a part. I'm not going to say it did everything for me, but it did play a part in personalizing the Jesus story for me, making it accessible in many ways. And today I listen to it. I go back to it many times throughout the year and hear bits and pieces. Certainly during the Easter week, I play it once or twice just to refresh myself. And you know, it's incredibly alive, and it is accurate to the story. I mean, you talk about some of the zealots that are in there, some of the main themes that if you were to read the Bible without knowing any of the history, they wouldn't hit you. But it's very obvious that Tim Rice, who wrote the lyrics, had done some research, had some knowledge. He had based it on the Gospel of Matthew and the particular perspective Matthew does take in presenting the gospel, the narrative. And he hits us with all kinds of ideas, like about the zealots and the entire play between Judas and Jesus, or the political discussion that the priests are having. The priests, like, what was their motive? Why are they doing this? And it's very, very fascinating because you get a background glimpse. Obviously, he's done his research. He's found who Caiaphas was, who Annas was, what was going on between the Jews and the Romans, and what took Jesus in the way of the cross. But the first song, Heaven on Their Minds. I mean, Judas asks some very serious questions, some basic questions. Like, you know, when this whole thing began, there was no talk of God. We just called you a man, he says. You've set them all on fire. They think they found a new Messiah. When you hear the crowds coming and mocking him, even in the song, Jesus Christ Superstar, there's this mocking, there's this constant mocking, which not only reflects what was going on back 2,000 years ago, but the reflection of our mocking, of what are you all about? What are you doing up there? You're talking about, you know, a life to come. You're talking about things in heaven when we are in a very, very fixated temporal existence. And I really appreciated the opera. I appreciated Jesus Christ Superstar so much because it allowed me at that young age to really kick around a lot of the concepts. I remember one of the songs that really bothered me was Jesus in Gethsemane. I mean, you're talking about age 13, 14. I had never read the scriptures, but I'm hearing Jesus arguing with his father. You know, if it's possible, take this cup of poison away from me. And I remember asking my dad about that. Dad, is it true that, you know, Jesus said, take this cup of poison away? And I remember he said, I don't remember the word poison. And then later on, subsequently, I've got to tell you, when I went to college and started reading the scriptures analytically, when I started doing some exegesis and was looking at really scripture from a different angle and realizing how alive it can be outside of faith, I really appreciated Jesus Christ Superstar even more. It was obvious that these people had done their research. And the idea of pushing that cup away, that, you know, I will drink it. I will drink it. And it is a poison in it. It's going to kill me, right? And it's fantastic stuff that really comes together. Check out this one little scene right here where they're mocking him.
Tell me, Christ, how you feel tonight. Do you plan to put up a fight? Do you feel that you have the breaks?
What would you say were your big mistakes?
Do you think that you may retire?
Do you think you would get much higher?
How do you view your coming trial?
Have your men proved it's all worthwhile?
I mean, you feel it, don't you? Like, you know, they're mocking him. They're making fun of him. Like, what do you say about all this? What's going on? And you know, it's a question of not only the words, but the music. Andrew Lloyd Webber at his best, right? He's putting it all together. This is, you know, before all of his popularity. This is right when he was beginning. He had done a couple other things before this, but really this made him. And you're listening, you're experiencing, and you're thinking. That's why I'm telling you, I think it's so beautiful, Jesus Christ Superstar, because really the way we come to faith is not just one way. It is really holistic. It is not just by attending a liturgy. It's not just by reading a book, a scripture even at that. It's about really the questioning. As important as the answers that you get, it's the questions that you throw out. And Jesus Christ Superstar gave me an opportunity really to throw out those questions. Who is this man? Why is he different? Why is he so important? What makes his story so unique? And in a sense, like I said, it's not everything. It's not, it's not like Jesus Christ Superstar made me a Christian or made me a priest. It's just that it was one of the elements that contributed at an early age. And I look back 40 years, wow, incredible music that still talks on different levels to me. Listen to this one little song here. This came from the movie version. This is Peter and Mary exchanging a conversation, a few thoughts. Can we start again? Could we start again? Is it possible? You know, we've been with you all this time, but now we're looking at you. You've been beaten. You've been humiliated. And they're going to betray you to the cross. It's going to be over. Is it possible that we've gone a little bit too far? This was all about love, wasn't it?
What do I do now? Could we start again, please? I've been very hopeful so far. Now for the first time, I think we're going wrong. Hurry up and tell me, this is just a dream. Or could we start again?
I think you've made your point now. You've even gone a bit too far to get the message home. Before it gets too frightening, we ought to call a halt. So could we start again, please?
Could we start again? You've gone a little bit too far with this message. You know, did you mean it to go that far? Do we need to see you go through all of this humiliation, this torture? Why be arrested? Why the cross? I mean, these are questions that any thinking man asks. And, you know, I share with you this about Jesus Christ Superstar because, of course, at a formative age, this was important in my life. But there are so many other opportunities. And that's why throughout our entire ministry, whether it's In His Shoes or Epostle, we make this point of ask the questions. Our Bible studies, we call them questions in faith. And the easiest thing is to sit down and read a Bible. But of course, more difficult than that is absorbing that Bible, making it real in your life, so that it's not something that you just sit down and read, but it has an application in your life, so that when you are going through difficulties, so that when you are confronting evil in your life, so that when you have those relationships that have gone sour, you can find comfort, you can find hope, but even more important, find the strength to overcome those difficulties. I mean, we're sitting here today at the foot of the cross. This is Holy Week. This is the holiest of all seasons for the Christian. Yet you've got to wonder, in a world that we're in today, for how many of us does this really even make sense? Who even understands the concept of resurrection? I mean, what are we talking about? Resurrecting from the dead. Everybody I've seen goes into the cemetery. Nobody ever comes out. So what are we talking about over here? And these are questions that Christians have asked for the last 2,000 years. And there's no shame in asking those questions, because by asking, you get answers. And this means that you don't check in your brain at the door. It means you use your brain. You use what God has given you. I remember Archbishop Didon Nersoyan, a scholar of the church. One day we were having a discussion. I was doing my thesis, my master's thesis, and it was about mystery. Actually, it was about evil, but there was a section on mystery, and I was consulting him, talking to him, and I had this opportunity to interview him. And at one point I said, Sirpazan, or Archbishop, you know, what about mystery? I mean, shouldn't we just give it to God? And I remember he laughed. You know, it was one of those like Master Poe moments. You know, he just looked at me and he laughed. He says, we should never hide behind mystery. God has given us a brain. He's given us the power to reason. Why wouldn't we use it? Why shouldn't we use that? And I'll never forget that, because it opened a new door for us. And I know reason has been the downfall of the West in many ways regarding spirituality, but I feel equally the East hasn't appealed enough to reason and has cloaked itself under this guise of mystery, that everything is mystery, where we haven't developed, we haven't really gone beyond to be able to understand our faith as something that comes alive, not something you wind up on Sundays, not something that you just decorate with your candles and your incense, but the faith is alive and living in every aspect of our lives. I mean, you look at people like Karl Barth, who brought about this neo-orthodoxy. I mean, you know, there's your transition right there that's coming from the West and appealing to the East. And there is definitely something to be said about mystery, but you need to be able to put it all together, and you need to find that right place. And that's why so many times I tell you, Armadoxy, that's what we're talking about. It's Armenian Orthodoxy minus all the politics. It comes down to something very basic, taking East and West. And when you look at where the strategic position of Armenia on a map, it is the one country that it is between East and West. It stands there at the crossroads between Europe and Asia, between Western Christianity and Eastern Christianity. It also stands in a predominantly Muslim area as the only Christian holdout. So physically, Armenian Orthodoxy through the centuries has evolved in that climate. And today when we talk about it, I know we're coming from Superstar, but it all connects, doesn't it? Because when we look at our lives as Armenian Orthodox Christians, we understand ourselves as reasoning, thinking people, and we are in this, and because of that reason, let's go this route, because of that reason, because of our understanding of the thought process, we appreciate the mystery. the mystery comes alive in our lives, so that when we come to church and we see the smoke, we see the lit candles, and we say Chorut Chorin, mystery deep, unscrutable, without beginning, that mystery is alive in our souls. It's not something we want to avoid, but something we want to confront. When we get to the grave on Sunday morning and find it empty, isn't that mystery? It defies all reason. It defies intellect. Yet when we confront that mystery, you need your intellect, you need your reason to process it and make sense out of it, so that that resurrection becomes real in your life, so that you are able to touch the people all around you and basically make your life the resurrection that Christ promised. Hey, we got Ani coming in. Probably Ani, that was good. Yeah, bring in the harpist right now. We needed a little break. We'll take a little break and then come back. We're going to be talking about Easter. Easter coming up in a few days, and a lot of stuff going on. Anyway, here's Ani with her spiritual bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is a prayer by Bernard of Clairvaux. Let me hold fast to you, beautiful Lord, whom the angels themselves yearn to look upon. Wherever you go, I will follow you. If you pass through fire, I will not flinch, for I fear no evil when you are with me. You carry my griefs, because you grieve for my sake. You pass through the narrow doorway from death to life to make it wide enough for all to follow. Nothing can ever now separate me from your love. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. Very appropriate, especially in this discussion as we're discussing mystery versus reason. And we find that they're not really diametrically opposed, are they? You know, it's part of that the same equation. I think sometimes we talk about mind, soul, and I choose this word being. It's part of our being. You kind of like the being is the is. It's the everything, encompasses everything. Body, mind, soul, spirit, whatever you want to throw in there. And it's all part of it. Whether you look at things mysteriously, you analyze them with your reason. At some point, we're all searching for some higher truth. And that exploration process to search for that higher truth is part of being human, right? That's it, isn't it? It's the idea that we're able to analyze. We are able to put things in their orders and classify them. And in classifying, we get a better understanding. But that doesn't discount mystery, that there is this mystery in our lives. Well, the big mysteries, of course, but the simple mysteries of enjoyment, of happiness, the feelings that we have. Yes, they are feelings. Don't discount feelings. That's all part of it as well. Now, with that being said, interesting thing happened last week. I believe it was Saturday. It could have even been Sunday. We don't get mail, but this wasn't in the mail. This was somebody had put a little brochure on our door at home. Now, we're in the Southern California area, but specifically, let's look at maybe you got to look at Glendale as being really one of the largest population centers of Armenian people. Then Hollywood, Pasadena, Burbank, and the surrounding areas used to be a little farther out, still are many Armenians out in Whittier, Montebello. Let's just say the Southern California area, and our house gets targeted because it is an Armenian house. Interesting, the census hasn't been taken yet, but we were targeted because we get this brochure and it's written in Armenian. Now let me read to you what it says in this brochure. Here's a translation of it. Jesus Christ told his followers that he came to earth not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his soul a ransom in exchange for many. Now, I should say that that's in quotes, and it says Matthew 20:28. Then, outside of quotes, he continues and says, he willingly gave up his life for the benefit of others. How did Jesus, by his death, provide a ransom? Why was this necessary? For whom did Jesus lay down his life? And what can his death mean for you? Ha-ha! We're asking those questions now. Well, this seems pretty good. I mean, some people appeal to us, others to records, to rock operas. Certainly, let's see what these people have to say. And it continues with this. It says, each year, Jehovah's Witnesses commemorate Jesus' death on its anniversary. This year, the anniversary falls on Tuesday, March 30th, after sundown. Well, they don't tell you in this brochure, it's a day after Passover, right? Jehovah's Witnesses warmly invite you to meet with them to examine the significance of Jesus' death. Scriptural answers to the above questions will be discussed. And then the invitation is to an Armenian gathering at Hoover High School. Hoover High School, yes. High school named after Herbert Hoover, the president. Yes, you're right. It's a public school. And in this public school, they're having a rally. Interesting, yes. The school board of Glendale has approved for this group to use their auditorium, use their facilities, their grounds. So you gotta wonder what's going on over here. Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's obvious who's on the board. It's politics. And now the Jehovah's Witness, let me also tell you that this Hoover High School happens to be right directly across the street from the Youth Ministry Center. So that evening, I'm just looking and there are like hundreds of people just marching in there. It's like a lemming parade. You know what lemmings are? Look it up. It's it describes what's happening over there. Now, you know, I'm not talking about one religion versus another religion. I'm talking about the distortion of faith to promote their ends. And this is very tragic right now because, you know, if any of you have studied Jehovah's Witness, the Watchtower Society, you know what they do. They basically amplify the scriptures. That means that it's not really scriptural readings. They focus on things like that. The real anniversary of Jesus' death. And as I've discussed with you, to the Christian, just as Christmas is not on December 25th, it is every single day the Christian is alive and expressing God in his life. So too, we need to proclaim every aspect of Christ every single day. I mean, anniversaries are there for our convenience, to remind us, but the real Christian celebrates every day. But it's interesting that in this brochure it says that they commemorate Jesus' death on its anniversary. Those are their words. Interesting. They commemorate Jesus' death. The real Christian commemorates what? Resurrection. The real Christian looks at Good Friday, but sees the resurrection. Good Friday, the crucifixion, is meaningless without the resurrection. But what's happening here is Jehovah's Witness, in their usual sense, they're taking scripture, they're amplifying it, they're putting in their things for their own selfish purposes. And unfortunately, when I talk about why I'm bringing this up, because you're seeing that these people believe in what they're doing. And yes, there is a jealousy. Because when it comes down to being evangelical, we have really missed the boat. That's why epostle.net is so important to me. Speaks to my heart. Apostolic evangelism. What were the apostles? Well, they were like these people going out there, finding any venue they could, finding any means they can to get the message out. And what we're finding right now, it's not just a question of the action of going out there, but the message itself has to be pure, has to be good. And that's why Armenian Orthodoxy, when you trace your roots, you go back to the ancient faith. And when you find that faith, what do you do? Well, like Jesus said, like the merchant who finds that pearl of great value, and he has to have that because nothing else makes sense. And he sells everything to acquire that pearl. If we really believe what Armenian Orthodoxy has to teach, if we really believe the Christian message, let's put it really down on the line. If you really believe in the Christian message, you need to be able to support it. You need to be able to say yes to it. You need to be able to commit to it, to give of yourself to it, sacrifice to it. Let's take a look at what happened over the last few months. We started a Lenten journey, and this journey has been very profound. It has touched many, many people. I can't begin to tell you the kind of response we've received to our podcast. It is something very unique, people tell us. Why? Because we're talking about matters of faith. We're not being apologetic about it, but teaching how that Lenten journey plays into our life. So that we start this journey of 40 days. We go through Holy Week, and then at the end of Holy Week, what do we have? We have the crucifixion. We see our Lord and our Savior on the cross. But we as Christians know it doesn't end there. If it ended with the death of Jesus, then there would be absolutely no hope. Tomorrow wouldn't mean anything. The future has nothing to hold for us. And you exist without any purpose. The strength of the Christian message is not in the birth of Jesus. Millions of people were born. The strength of the Christian message is not at Calvary. There were many people punished for the good that they did. And there have been millions of people who've shed blood unjustly. Still, the uniqueness of the crucifixion, of Christ's crucifixion, is that God was crucified. As St. Nerses Shnorhali so beautifully, eloquently tells us, he juxtaposes these ideas. The same hands that had formed the universe, that had made earth and heaven, those same hands which had given sight to the blind, those same hands which had written the commandments on the tablets, those same hands were now being nailed by who? By his creation to the cross. The same God that made rivers flow out of Eden was now asking for water. I thirst, he said. And so we see God taking our form, standing in our place, going through all of the human difficulties on that cross. But still, the story doesn't end there. If it had finished at the cross, again, all of this, everything, even God being up there, would not mean anything. The power of that cross is the empty tomb. Easter Sunday, when you get to the tomb with the ladies and you see that Jesus is not there, that the stone has been moved, you realize that the biggest obstacles in your life can be moved. That the ultimate cancer, that is death, has now been overcome. There is victory. And in that victory, what do we find? Hope. Hope for tomorrow. What do we find in that victory? We find faith to live. What do we find in that victory? The example of love. That despite all of the problems that we have, despite every war that exists right now, despite all of the genocides that have taken place and continue to take place, that there is one power that can overcome it. It's not in a gun, it's not in a weapon, it's not in diplomacy, it's not sitting around a table, it's not voting for the next president of countries. It's about making that victory real in your life. Making that victory of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, Easter Sunday, a resurrection that continues with you every single day of your life. Go back a few weeks. Do you remember at the beginning of the Lenten journey? Do you remember at the beginning of Lent what I said? it's not about 40 days. It's not about 49 days, 42 days. Do we observe on Sundays? What about Wednesdays and Fridays? It's not about Lenten practices. It's not about fish, shellfish, face fish, or anything that comes from the sea or the land. It's not about eating meat. It's not even about praying. It's not even about reading Bible. What? Yes, I said that. Do you realize that there are Christians who have never read the Bible? Do you understand that there are people who have never fasted and still are able to articulate the Christian message? It's about loving. It's about caring. It's about adding the one plus the Lent. That is walking away after this Lenten season, after Easter, as a Christian. And what it comes down to is standing at the empty tomb. Because the culmination of Lent, of the 40 days, 49 days, is Easter Sunday. When you're standing at the empty tomb, you need to react to it. It's basic science. To every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. The action is there. Jesus Christ has risen. There's no greater message than that. That evil has been conquered, and it can be conquered. Faith, hope, and love make sense in that context. They don't make sense at Calvary. They make sense at the empty tomb. Because now we have faith, we have the hope, and we definitely have the love in our hearts. So what is the answer that you have for that empty tomb? You see the empty tomb there. Now you need to answer. Well, you had 12 great examples. Each of the disciples, every one of them that was confronted by the resurrected Lord, changed at that point. That Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times, became the greatest advocate, going all the way to Rome, being crucified for the Lord. Thomas, who in the middle of Jesus' speech, Jesus is talking about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He interrupts and he says, excuse me, Lord, where is the way? How do we get there? Show us the way. That Thomas, who doubted Jesus, said, I won't believe this. He, until I see with my eyes, went on to India, went on to Scotland, went on throughout the world. Thaddeus and Bartholomew. You've got James and John. You've got all of them going out to different places and being crucified, being martyred for their faith. Now, you don't martyr yourself for something you don't believe in. You don't martyr yourself. You don't get killed for something you don't believe in. Even to save face, you don't do this, okay? Take a look at the keyboard in front of you or your little iPod. Take a look at it. It's got a speaker on it. If I told you that that speaker is made out of rock, which it's not, right? I hope you know that. You can tell me, no, it's made out of paper, it's made out of cellophane. But if I put a gun to your head, you will tell me that that speaker is made out of rock. You know why? Because it's not worth dying for. It's not worth dying for. Who cares whether it's made out of rock, it's made out of cellophane, it's made out of paper. But given the option to die or to proclaim Jesus as resurrected, each one of the disciples turned apostle was willing to put their life on the line. You don't die for a made-up story. You don't die for some fantasy, for a fairy tale. You die because the resurrected Lord is real in your life. This Easter Sunday, those of you who have been on this journey with me, through the Lenten journey, the Holy Week journey, those of you who have been following through the next step, I can only wish you the best. I could wish you the best because you've followed through. You've arrived here, Easter Sunday, and you're looking into the tomb and it's empty. There's nothing in it. And that is the promise. That is the promise in your lives. That despite your crucifixions, all of the difficulties that you're going to have, there is hope because there is resurrection. And the path to that resurrection is the path of love. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. I am. God is. God is love. Love is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to God. No one is resurrected. No one conquers the cross unless he is love. Practice love. Search for peace, and you will find justice. You will find goodness in everything that you do. Happy Easter.
Morning has broken.
I am so glad that you joined us today, and I wish you all the best over this weekend and especially on Easter morning. I want to remind you that we're going to be having an Easter celebration on the net. You could join us at epostle.net, and we're going to have a liturgy in the English language. It's 1 hour from 8 to 9 o'clock Easter morning, Pacific Daylight Time. So make sure you're coordinated with that time schedule. And I believe we'll have it archived afterwards. If everything goes well, we'll archive the stream. It's a beautiful way to start off your Easter day, your morning, and of course the celebration of Christ's resurrection. Now, I know I did promise you a little bit of fun at the expense of our dear friend Ken, but let's not go there today. I feel very mellow right now. We just ended this beautiful podcast and this season on a really up note. And you know what? I just realized it's April 1st today. We made it through the whole podcast without even a bit of an April Fool's joke. And I want to leave it like that. That is probably the ultimate April Fool's joke, that there is no joke, because we're talking about something so serious of the resurrection. So serious of life eternal. So we're going to leave it right there, okay? But I promise you, come back next week and we'll pick it up with some of the stuff. I got to tell you that story. Yes, yes, I will get to that story too. Okay, Susie. Yeah, I told you, she's been writing me on it, so she's not going to let me go on this one. But for right now, let me just say this podcast is made possible thanks to your generous donations as well as your prayers. Keep us first and foremost in your prayer life. Pray for epostle.net, for this ministry, and please be generous in your giving. It goes a long way. Small amounts go a long way. Please visit our websites, inhisshoes.org, for all the wonderful things that we're doing. We've got a big famine coming up in a few weeks. April 24th signals a time for genocide remembrance. You're going to see how we're going to be moving in that direction. We're going to be actually going out to South America, going to be making a presence over there and a presentation. Hope that you'll be along for the ride. If we could podcast from there, we're going to be out there as well. Got a lot of things coming up in April. Please keep us in your prayer. Keep love in your heart. Happy Easter, the greeting that we greet one another with. Christ has resurrected. Indeed, he has resurrected. Blessed be that resurrection of Christ. God bless you. For the producer, Susie, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani and her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we take the next step.
trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.